We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Yankees win game one of the ALDS against the Guardians. We've got the whole squad with us. Scott, that third inning, that's the inning to focus on. Cole escaping the bases loaded jam after a call not going his way, a call that was a strike. It was clearly a strike. Umpire missed it. We've seen this. We had seen this story before where something doesn't go Cole's way and he melts down. I was all prepared. I was already typing out my tweet. I don't know about you. I know you were chatting with us on the back end too, just being like, this is not happening. This is not happening. And it didn't happen. It didn't.
Yeah, I was more, you know, on the edge of my seat waiting to see how he was going to react to that non-strike call, because home plate umpire was pretty inconsistent on that low strike all night long. There were definitely some calls that the Yankees got and then some that Cole didn't. But he, you know, to his credit, man, his breaking stuff was really good tonight. He wasn't controlling the fastball early, but it seemed like he got better as the game went on. But his breaking stuff was good. I mean, it was really good. So he was able to kind of, you know, get himself out of jams with the breaking stuff, because usually, I mean, he has good off speed normally, but he's got a dynamic fastball, and I didn't think the fastball was as good tonight. But he really, I think, bailed himself out with his breaking stuff.
It was especially glaring in the first few innings where the fastball was either in the middle of the plate or it was up and away to lefty batters or up in the strike zone, just wild. Yeah. And he was getting the swings and misses on the knuckle curve. His knuckle curve was sharp, but I'm sitting there wondering how far can only a knuckle curve take you in this game? And there was a real concern there for a while because his pitch count was climbing.
24 in the first inning. I mean, he really came back to earth, because that was dicey. That first inning, you're looking at what was transpiring in that first inning, and you're setting yourself up for a tough day. With
the 24. IKF error obviously didn't help his pitch count. But yeah, the third inning was long, bases loaded, and they escaped that. And I think, what was it, the fourth inning after the Bader solo shot that he came back and finally had a quick inning? I think it was the top of the fifth that he finally had a quick inning and he settled in. I was texting with my dad, I was texting with you guys. It's like, do they bring him back out for the seventh inning? Because that was the conversation you and I had on the last show. It's like, how far are they going to push him? Like, this bullpen has huge question marks. If you're going to push guys, it's in these first two games when you have the extra off days built in, so you can push Gerrit Cole a little farther. You can push Nestor farther.
Oh, you're talking about the rotation. Yeah, but you can use your bullpen a little earlier with the off day too if you need.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's a real decision, because like you're going down the list. Like, Efros, now we learned he's out. right? He needs
time. Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. That's another crazy, crazy thing that transpired.
It was news this morning.
Yeah.
Holmes.
So was the fractured foot. So was the fractured foot for LeMahieu.
On DJ, yeah. Did they do a full MRI on the foot? Do not know. They must not have done CSI Bronx.
Yeah, or maybe it happened in the week that didn't matter at all. Who knows?
So it's like you're going through this bullpen. You're like, shit. Okay, they got to get 9 outs. They're gonna do this matchup, and then Wandy's gonna come in and he's gonna pitch to these three batters. Like that's the math you're doing in your head that I know the Yankees in the dugout are doing, but that's what I'm doing on my couch too. And then you like it's a legitimate conversation. You got to think it's like, okay, are we pushing our starters and trying to steal a couple outs, which they did with Cole against the bottom of the order, or are we going to our bullpen? It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because had Cole come back out there and struggled, I know he gave up the one hit, but like had he allowed both runners on, you're sitting there saying, well, what are you doing pushing him? He struggles in these last innings. Like it's an easy call to take him out there. But then on the flip side, if you bring the bullpen in and that doesn't go well, well what are you doing not pushing Cole? He's been cruising. So it really was a no-win spot there.
Yeah, but the situation, like before we hit record here, I was like, that felt free and easy in that game. There wasn't a lot of stress. Once Rizzo hit that home run, it was just like, you know, that game just ended quietly, which is nice against the team. I mean, you look at what Cleveland's been doing in the playoffs. They haven't gotten runs across the board either. I mean, they won very low scoring games against Tampa. It's not like their offense is, you know, we talked about this in one of the previews, is like there's two guys on this team really that scare me a little bit, and that's Ramirez and Naylor. And Ramirez got on base a good amount, but they were able to keep Naylor down. The other guys just like, you know, they're a bunch of dudes out there that don't strike out a lot. They're pesky. They will, you know, run the bases. But the thing about what today I think served really nicely is that home run was huge, because that gives you a 3-run lead, 4-1 with Cole going into the seventh inning. Like, to me, no brainer. You throw him back out there because of the 3-run lead. And then you wait until something happens. Like if he gives up a home run, if he gives up a base runner, if he walks a guy, whatever, a hit, walks a guy. Like,
I don't think he was going to face Kwan again, though. I think that was the no matter.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I don't know. Got the first two guys out again. I don't think he was facing Kwan again. I think they were just going to have him pitch to the bottom of the order. That was the third full time through the order. And I think because Kwan, you know, you say Naylor and Ramirez are the guys. Like, I don't know. Kwan had some really good at bats tonight.
Yeah, Kwan's obviously good. He's a pain in the ass. He doesn't strike out. But he's very good.
He hit the ball hard, even in his first at bat, lined out to Rizzo. Like, I don't love seeing Kwan at the plate either.
I guess, but maybe it's not like that dude scares me though. He's a good hitter at bat.
And if he comes up with runners on base.
Josh Naylor just looks like he's going to beat the living shit out of you, though, every time you look at his face. Like, that guy scares me, you know?
That's a different story.
I'm just saying he looks the part, okay? But yeah, you know, whether he was going to go in for Kwan or not, I thought it was a no-brainer to get him back out there. And then, the first sign of any kind of trouble, any base runner, you pull him, because even if you have a runner on, you know, 2-run shot doesn't tie the game at that point, right? So it worked out where the next guy got on as well, and they got out of the jam. But the thing is that with Cole, you can grow him out there because you can control, even if he gives up a home run, you're not going to allow him to, the game can't get tied or a deficit being erased. So he was in a good position. Boone was in a good position, I thought, for that.
Do we have the pitch count by inning, because I believe he was at like in the high 60s after, was it high 60s or high 50s after the third inning, and then ended with just over
24 after the first. So it was,
yeah, the first three innings were long, and then he had, I mean, because you know, I was talking with some people on Twitter, and they're like, well, he's been cruising, he's had easy innings, you've got to bring him back out. Like, and that, I get that take, right? It's like we have said this a million times before. It's like, you do have to use your eyes in these games, and you have to use what you're seeing recently in the games to make decisions, as well as just numbers and spreadsheets and, well, you know, whatever the plan or quote unquote plan was or is.
How about the Mariners game when bringing in freaking Robbie Ray?
I don't want to fucking talk about the Mariners and the Astros.
Nowhere. Like, holy shit. Can we deal
with the Astros in next week?
It was so predictable. It was so predictable. I was watching it. I knew it was coming. So
I got to tell you, I want them to win because I want the Yankees to play them. That's what I want. You know, you don't ask for your opponents. We've said
it feels like that.
I don't care. I need.
I'm with Scott. It's a right.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult.
It has to.
But it has to happen. Got to go through Houston.
Got to beat the best to be the best.
I don't disagree with you guys that if the Yankees do go on to a championship this year, if they go through Houston, it makes it way more sweet. Yeah. However, the Astros are really good. And that's going to be a tough series.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Taking a look at what the bullpen is, one, Holmes closed the game out. That was very positive, right? We didn't know if he was even going to be available today. They were kind of being a little... You know, earlier in the week, they were being a little non-clear if he was going to be available for the first game.
He had a great bullpen. He had a great bullpen yesterday, and he just magically...
Great wet throws. A lot of good, great wet throws. That arm was really, really lubed up. But no, he looked good. And then Wandy Peralta, we're going to see Wandy Peralta in a lot of high leverage situations, I think, in these playoffs.
Good.
I think Wandy Peralta is going to be a guy to circle as one of these unsung heroes that is not going to get... A lot of people don't know who he is. So there's not going to get a lot of love across the league, but he's going to be looking back. If this team makes a run, I think Wandy Peralta is going to be one of those guys where you're like, oh yeah, Wandy Peralta had a freaking hell of a... He's going to need to because there's no one else out there for those high leverage spots beyond the three guys, really.
Trevino too.
Trevino, that's right.
That's the four. It's Holmes, Trevino, Loaisiga, and Wandy. Those are the four. And then after that, you're kind of mixing and matching in the middle innings, depending on what you need. And if you're bringing in someone else out of that bullpen in a high leverage spot, that's dangerous. I mean, not that any of the guys it's like you feel fantastic about, but it's really dangerous if you're bringing in someone else in high leverage.
They're gonna dance a really fine line now if it rains on Thursday, because they could get forced to play four days in a row, which is not going to be good for this bullpen. It's not going to be good if they have to start Nestor on short rest in game five.
Although, granted,
that affects both teams. But
that's what I was saying, because they were talking about it on the broadcast that means no matter what, Bieber and
Nestor. Tristan McKenzie
can only pitch once in the series.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that Bieber didn't throw tonight?
No.
Because didn't he pitch on Thursday?
He pitched on Friday.
He's going to pitch on
Was it Friday?
Game one of the wild card was Friday. No, I'm not surprised.
I was thinking it was Thursday, and I was doing the math.
It's hard.
Hypothetical situation, if this was a normal ALDS schedule and game two was Wednesday night, Bieber would be pitching Wednesday night on short rest. I don't doubt that.
But the Wednesday fact wouldn't that, be short rest. Sorry, Sunday, Monday.
It Tuesday. Wouldn't be short rest.
Wednesday though. would be regular rest.
It would be okay, a true 5 day. Yeah.
Dude, this schedule is messing with me. It just makes no sense. And then when and if we get to the LCS, they don't have one off day in the seven games.
Who needs off days when you have the two best teams in each league? You know, let's just get rid of all those off days and between the wild card and the end of the season.
Well, so what do you think Thursday does look like a washout potentially. So do we think that benefits the Yankees or the Guardians?
Probably the Guardians, because they're the ones that came off that 15-inning, marathon the other day. They have probably not even that arguably the better pitching staff right now. So I think resting that pitching staff is a move in their direction. But again, the Yankees offense is good enough where it can take on any pitching staff. So I feel good about the way that the offense is rolling right now and who they have out there. But I think it does benefit their pitching staff because they're better, they're deeper.
The only thing that you can say is that, it might end up if it went to a game five, they might not use their game two starter because it would be even shorter rest. It would be if they played Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday would be 3 days rest. Maybe they go, are you seeing a game five where it's like tie on against one of their other starters, like a Savali or a Plesac, where that's like clear advantage Yankees, I think?
Yeah, I guess that depends on when and if Taillon is used earlier in the series.
Right. They asked Boone that today if they would change the way they used him because of the forecast, maybe needing him to start. And he was like, no, we're going to use him the way that we were planning on.
That's a tough game to play if you start trying to predict.
It's tough.
Only
if they just win game two and game three, then we don't have this issue.
That's right. Just sweep and you don't have to deal with a game five. But seriously, win it in four games at least. It's like, you've got Cole coming back on regular rest for game four. You get one of the next two games and hope that Garrett Cole this gets him over a hump. Like, are you buying into this? Like, he's over a hump here?
What were you thinking after the first innings? I know what I was thinking. I was thinking, here we go again. Here we go again.
Of course.
This motherfucker's gonna come up and put up a stinker again and just be mediocre. And then he gave up the home run. I'm like, oh. Here we go again. There's like
I didn't mind the
happening.
solo home runs.
The solo shot's fine. It's fine. The solo shot doesn't mean anything for a guy like him. That's what he gives up. Like, he gives up the home
runs. And that was a fastball center cut. That was a prime rib fastball he gave to Kwan. But a guy like him,
you want to put the ball in play because he doesn't strike out. So just pitch to him and hope it. Someone catches it.
The bases were loaded. A couple weird plays with force outs that like almost happened then didn't happen. And he got out of it. He got a ground ball to Donaldson. And he got a strikeout. He got a strikeout and a half. So,
yeah. Donaldson had a weird day today. So hell of a play at third base. Old man gets up and just fires a rocket over to first base. Gets him by two steps. That was a great play. And then let's talk quickly about the home run or double. Would have been double off the wall that wasn't, or whatever the hell. That wasn't his fault. That wasn't Josh Donaldson's fault. First base coach is freaking high-fiving him. So good job sending him around first base.
The umpire never made the home run signal, though.
Okay. Why is first base coach Travis Chapman, who we've never mentioned his name probably one time, mention his name. I literally had to look it up. I was like, let me make sure who this person is. Literally yells back, tells them what to do, points at a bag usually, points at first base or points to second base, gives them the gloves, the mitt, hands them the – there's no job. Like, just pay attention.
First base
is the easiest job on the freaking – in the entire stadium. He's got an easier job than the ushers do.
You've got to relay some signals every now and again.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that is a tough spot for Donaldson to be in. But the problem with that is that Donaldson has not run on a number of balls this year. And so this is another one. If Donaldson was a guy that just didn't pimp fly balls to the warning track all season, then I might be on your side. But the fact that he has, and I believe this is now the third instance of this happening, the second one right down into the short porch where it was off the top of the wall, it's like, hey, dude, just run when you hit a pop-up to right field, because that's a pop-up to right field.
It's a pop-up to right field that was more of a line drive, though. It's not like it was a high fly ball that was in the right field that he had a whole bunch of time to run. The ball got out pretty quick.
So even more of a
case. I'm saying you don't have a ton of chance to run, and then the first base coach is giving you a high five like it's just a home run. What are you doing? Like, it's not like
he thought it was
lollygagging.
When I saw the ball bounce back, I was like, oh, that definitely cleared the fence. Maybe bounced off a fan or bounced off like one of the railings or something just by the way it caromed. And then like they slowed in on the replay. I'm like, holy shit, no one touched it. Like, how did no one touch
that? I was like, that guy, come on.
Where's Jeffrey Mayer when you need him?
Yeah.
Also, it's like, I thought they put in railings so you can't even reach over the stands at this point. Another thing on that Cabrera ball.
You just got to figure that out.
Did you see the fan on the Cabrera ball down the left field line when he made that nice play? The fan looked like he was trying to push Cabrera away. Like, I know he was just guarding himself, but like, dude, what are you doing? You think he's going to like run into you? Like, just sit in your seat and nothing. You're not going to get touched.
I know Anthony Rizzo was on the field, but don't we know what happened with a foul ball down the left field line? In the playoffs, like we know what happened with turtleneck and headphones. Like don't go, let your guy catch the goddamn ball and make the out, please, because the next one's going to be a home run if you don't. It was just get out of the way. Thankfully Cabrera made the play, and then the next pitch, right, or the next at bat was when Donaldson made that play down the line.
Donaldson made a couple nice plays, and he did. I'm with you. I don't fully blame him for that. I'm sick of Donaldson not running on balls.
He had a good day. He hit a, you know, he got what, he had another base hit as well.
He had a good day.
He had a good day.
IKF did not have a good day.
Yeah.
Obviously the error in the first inning, but a really horrendous at bat in his first at bat where he hits into the double play with two on. Quantrill, who I don't know how I missed this. It's Paul Quantrill's kid.
Quantrill's kid. Paul, okay. Yeah, what I did miss is that he hadn't lost since like July.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, crazy. he looked good up until the end of his outing. But so IKF comes up. Quantrill had already walked two batters and was kind of wild to Cabrera, even though Cabrera struck out. I believe he only threw one ball in the strike zone to Cabrera, even though it was a strikeout. And IKF swings at the first pitch and bounces into a double play. It's just a bad approach, bad at bat.
Yeah, he did not have a good day. Thankfully, he made that double play up the middle, gloved it, stepped on the bag, and threw a bullet to Rizzo. I was holding my breath, though, when he was out there. I'm not going to lie. Because that first ball, he's got to make the play. So, yeah, not a great day for him. He needs to tighten that shit up because the crowd was about to get on his ass, too.
Oh, if the Yankees, if they did kind of get on his ass, but like, I feel like I thought it was going to be more after the double play and it kind of just like drowned out. Maybe they were distracted by Nick Swisher still like swirling. Like,
was he still running around?
Like, yeah. What was with the lights off?
He just had more energy.
Well, why'd they turn the lights off? They're just like, oh, we're going to be lights out. We're going to be lights out this postseason.
It was cool.
Was it?
It looked cool. All the lights on.
Okay.
Matt, all the lighters on.
Yeah. I don't know. Was that planned? Was it planned?
No, there was a power outage.
No.
And then the lights came back on like conveniently for the start of the game. It was amazing. This is the greatest coincidence I've ever seen in my life.
Because I know it wasn't actually lighters, it was cell phones, but like it looked like almost coordinated.
Well, it's not the first time
it's
happened.
Idiots on their cell phone tweeting about the game.
Yeah, they're just turning the lights off to be like, watch the game. Look at everybody on their phones. Everybody's on their phones. Watch the game. This is why we have to have nets up.
But like they didn't show any of the pregame. They just like went, it was like they went to the game and it was 5 minutes before first pitch and the lights are off. I'm like, what's happening here? The other big, so if we're calling Gerrit Cole striking out to get out of the third as the biggest out of the game, the second biggest out for the Yankees in the game was Loaisiga, getting the out in the seventh with Ramirez on deck. That was because the tying run was up. Ramirez is on deck, and Loaisiga gets out of that jam.
Yeah, huge play. The it was a good play for Loaisiga. Loaisiga needed it. I think we need Loaisiga to be lights out. We do. Speaking of lights out, we need Loaisiga to be lights out because he's I think the second most dynamic guy out there, right behind Holmes. If you have two guys in the bullpen that can dominate, it's those two. Those are the two guys that can dominate. So need him to be, you know, uber confident. How about the hometown kid coming in, getting his first home run as a New York Yankee, Harrison Bader, jawing it up. I know.
Did you know that?
I did. He's from Bronxville, New York. Yeah. I did know that. He's a local kid.
Do you know what that this is? This year's Todd Frazier is from Toms River. That's what this is.
Yeah, but it's not because Todd Frazier had a picture with Derek Jeter, from the Little League World Series, and that was what was always talked about. It wasn't just that he was from Toms River. Because he was from Toms River, and Toms River went to the Little League World Series, and they won, and he stood behind Derek Jeter,
and it was like full circle. Why didn't Toms River Little League go to a Phillies game? Because they're closer to Philly than they are in New York City.
It was one of the I don't know, they weren't in the playoffs. When was that?
So
it was a Harrison playoff Bader, game, wasn't it?
Harrison Bader apparently
went to early some season
2009 games, like 2009 playoff games. Harrison Bader as a child growing up, because like you know we're old now. So I'm waiting for a picture to be dug up of him like in the stands at like the.
I feel like we would have already seen it if it's not already out there and we just missed it. They did some work on the Cole one. The one that they showed on TBS today, that thing went into Photoshop. There's no doubt about it. They took it in. They optimized it. They blurred out the background. The sign. Yeah, yeah. They definitely made it a lot more clear. I was like, ooh, someone manipulated the shit out of that picture. It looks like it was taken 2 years ago.
On last episode, you said that your confidence level was like a 6 or 7, but you wanted to see how Cole pitched. So did what he did today change your confidence level overall? Not just saying for this series, but moving forward in the postseason. Did he show you enough tonight to make you change your tune?
I'm trying not to shit on him a little bit, just like a little bit. I don't know why I feel like I have to. There's like some part of me inside of me that's like, ah, man, I don't know. There were so many opportunities that there was close to falling apart.
It didn't fall apart.
No, I know it didn't. It didn't. And I shouldn't feel that way. I should not feel this way. But I do. I'm just being honest. There's something inside of me that still doesn't give me the full amount of confidence. It was a very, very, very positive step in the right direction, because if this man has confidence, if this man has the mental fortitude to execute to his abilities, this team can absolutely go far. So along those lines, and I'm talking myself into it further now, yes, my confidence is higher. Yes, for this series, no doubt about it. This was a huge, they needed to win this game. I thought it was a, you know, It's ridiculous to say that game one is a must-win game, but when Gerrit Cole is on the mound at home, you got to win that game. He's got to win that game for them to feel
Bieber and McKenzie coming up in the next two starts, and
pretty
Gerrit
close
Cole
to a must-win.
Yeah. Well, it was a must-win, but it wasn't a can't lose because you know.
Okay.
There was but always going to be a tomorrow.
You know what I mean with the level of. The level of need for him to come out there and execute, because there was a lot of doubt not just on this show, in the mind of a lot of fans. There was a lot of doubt for him stepping out there, and what he did was he looked it, he knew it was there. Pressure is a privilege, and he executed. So I applaud. I applaud Gerrit Cole for going out there and executing. This is what we paid him for. I wanted him to finish seven.
He wasn't allowed to. Here's what I'm going to say. Sometimes
you don't throw 24 innings in the first inning, 24 pitches in the first inning, and you're allowed to.
It was as ugly as a one run over six and a third inning performance could be because of the messes he had to get out of. Would seven dominant shutout innings of two hits and you know 10 strikeouts have optically looked better? Of course.
Yeah.
But sometimes
would have made my confidence, would have made my brain feel better too.
But sometimes this is like just like this is a positive forward, and even though it was ugly, but he battled through, could actually be more beneficial than just like cruising through six or seven innings where he wasn't even challenged.
I get it, but I also know what this Cleveland offense is, and they're not that.
They're not great.
They're good, but they're not like a powerhouse offense. So that type of performance against a better team, even Seattle, Houston, like those mistakes are going to bite him in the ass. So that's where I'm like, you know, I'm feeling good. Not trying to shit on Gerrit Cole because I'm not doing that. I'm positive.
Sounds like
I'm
you're shitting on Gerrit
Cole. I'm in a good spot, but at the same time, I think that those that same game against a different opponent, very different line, very different box score.
You know, Gerrit Cole outpitched Justin Verlander. He outpitched Matt Frazier.
Yeah, it's
he
true.
He outpitched Jacob deGrom. I know different offenses, but no, that's not the only thing I wanted to say other than defending Gerrit Cole, because that's what I do. Jameson Taillon said he was going to come in the ninth inning, had Clay Holmes reach his pitch count, which is hilarious because pitch counts in the playoffs makes me laugh, and Jameson Taillon being the next one out of the bullpen is also funny. Why they would even toy around with the idea of bringing him into an inning. That's not like a clean
hold on,
one.
Hold on. That's asinine. First of all, what was Clay Holmes's pitch count?
It went above his pitch count was the
what? No. I know that. But so he threw. How many pitches did he throw? He threw 10 pitches.
So he probably could have thrown, I would say, somewhere in between 15 and 20. And had he gotten there, you would have seen. Probably. Around 15 pitches, you would have seen less than that because Taillon needs more time to get up, you'd imagine, to get up in the bullpen. And we'd say, why? Where is Lou Trevino?
Yeah,
I think I'd rather Lucas Litke coming in the middle of an inning. Clark Schmidt, anybody.
Just have, if you're, that makes no fucking sense. That makes no sense.
Did they not just watch what happened in the Seattle game when you bring in?
If they're going to start, if you're going to use Taillon out of the bullpen, I'm fine with that. But like, don't get cute with it. Give him a clean inning, set him up for success. Don't bring him in because Clay Holmes reaches pitch count, and maybe you're coming in with first and second the tying run up in the ninth inning. I'm not even talking about like what we saw in the Houston game or whatever. Just be smart. Just be smart about this.
Well, no, 100%.
Didn't happen.
I hope they don't try and force him in, like force starting pitchers into
right.
the game now.
Like,
in years past, obviously they never did it, but other teams did. Like the Astros did it, the Nationals did it, but they didn't like force it. Like they used it because they had to. Like if they're gonna start trying to force Taillon into games,
I don't. We'll see. Positive. This was very good.
Great.
This was a very, fantastic. Very good game. And Gerrit Cole is the number one pitcher and came out there and acted like it. So
yeah.
Very excited. Very excited because now the rest of it lines up even better, which is great.
That's right.
It's great.
Full confidence with Nestor on the mound, whether it's on Thursday or Friday, full confidence with Nestor on the mound. And I would have had full confidence with Nestor whether the Yankees won this game or not. So it's obviously my feeling going into game two. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, I hope it's no rain out. I really hope the weather forecast is incorrect and that Susan Waldman's app pushes the rain away. Someone hold the fan up to the Doppler so that it goes away and they play. Because I don't want to deal with who does it benefit? Well, it's not fun. Let's just play a baseball on Thursday. How about that?
Yeah, it's already going to feel like a long wait before game two. So adding an extra day just would suck. We are going to be doing reaction episodes, as we said, after every single game. Maybe we'll do off-day content if something pops up. Who knows? Especially if there's a rain delay, it's going to be a long time off. Maybe we'll cook something up for you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys after game two.
Let's go.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.